Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Diana Wiley. I'm your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter, and I am thrilled because today I have a very special friend and colleague, somebody I've known for years, April Massini. Welcome to the program, April.
Hi, Diana. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yes, and our callers our listeners are going to be very fortunate today because if any of you decide to call in with a question for this fabulous advice expert, April Massini, and you may, as you listen, you should check out her website, which is askapril.com, and there you'll see her books, her e-books. So if you call in with a question for this amazing woman, April Massini, you will receive one of her books, Think and Date Like a Man, Date Out of Your League. And by the way, I have a chapter in that book, don't I, April?
Oh, quite the chapter at that.
All about sex, naturally. And let's see, Romantic Date Ideas is another of your books. And what is the fifth book?
Ideas for a Fun Date.
Ideas for a Fun Date. So these are this show is really geared at singles and dating. But I like it because you also have, you have advice for the marriage-minded.
Yes, I do.
And I love this one. This is all on your website. Too self-conscious and shy to date? That's a good one. Anyway, we're going to have a conversation, you and I, about a number of these issues. And if any of you listeners want to call in, be sure and give our producer your email address because you'll win a book.
Terrific.
And you can pick out which one you want. Is that right, April?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
So what would you like to ask April?
I'd like to ask what you think about sleeping with a man on a first date.
Oh, my. Well, you know that every person is different. And I think the key is to know yourself and to know what it is that you're looking for. If you're just looking to hook up with someone and to have a good time for a night, well, you know, if you're over 18 and that's what you decide to do, that's what you decide to do. But I find that a lot of people ask more questions about a car they're going to buy than the person they're going to go to bed with and may end up co-parenting with. So, you know.
That's a very good point. I mean, if you're going to get naked with somebody, I think you want to know them.
Yeah, well, would you show up for a job and not, you know, not know what it pays or not know what the duties are? Of course not. I mean, you wouldn't even think about it. And yet here you are considering going to bed with someone you don't know anything about.
Yeah, it can be dangerous, too.
It can be, yes. Aside from the fact that you could get pregnant or contract a disease, you know, a lot of times women, or most times women, go into sex for different reasons than men. You know, men have sex because they can. It's just as simple as that. And if they're presented with an opportunity, most times they're just going to go ahead and take it. That doesn't mean the guy likes you or loves you. It doesn't mean he wants to date you. It means he's going to have sex with you, period.
And men are
confusion.
Men tend to be hardwired that way, especially men in their 20s. Now, there is some evidence that as men get older, that they may become a little more emotional and liking to cuddle and that sort of thing.
Well, that all makes sense because their testosterone drops, right, as they get older?
Yes, and they may be developing their female side a little more.
Right.
In Jungian terms, that would be the anima, and the animus is the male side. And women, you and I probably have pretty well-developed male sides because we're high-T women,
yes.
Ambitious and loquacious and so on, and able to take charge and that sort of thing. So, there is some evidence that, in fact, there was a study done that found a strong connection between a man's relationship satisfaction and the frequency of his physical intimacy, but he likes cuddling much more. The stereotype says men don't like cuddling so much, but really they do. But anyway, that we're drifting a little bit away from the first question, and I also wanted to ask you, because you get a lot of questions about commitment. So
enormous amount. And,
yeah.
And this sex on the first date or would to have sex in a relationship is always a big question people ask. And they say, well, can it ever work out if you have sex with them on the first date? When,
mm-hmm.
And my answer to that is you better make sure it's pretty darn good sex.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's not and you have nothing else there, if there's no emotional connection and there's no relationship beyond the sex, if the sex isn't really, really fantastic, he's going to look to have sex with someone else. And then, you know, like it or not, if you have sex with a man on the first date, he is going to wonder, I wonder if she does this with everybody.
That's
and
true. Yeah.
The answer may be no, but he is still going to think that.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to convince him otherwise could be quite a challenge.
Yes. So what kinds of questions do you get about commitment?
Well, a lot of women ask how they can get their guy to commit and how you know that a man is serious about a relationship with you as opposed to someone who's just looking to have a good time. And I get that a lot. How can they get their guy to the altar, or how can they get him to make a commitment to them? And I think it's very simple that if a man wants a relationship with a woman, he treats her like he wants a relationship with her. You know, he introduces her to his friends. He starts calling her every day and tells him about her day, his day, and asks her questions about, you know, what she did that day. And if he treats her just like someone he's dating amongst the others, well, she's someone he's dating amongst the others. And frankly, men reach a certain point in life when they're looking for a relationship, but generally they have certain things they want to get done, reach some level of success before they're ready to take on a wife and a family and what have you.
Or maybe be closer to 30 years of age.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we do so much changing in our 20s.
No
and
question.
I think it's generally good advice to not marry till you're closer to 30. I gave that advice to both my son and my daughter, and son isn't married yet, but daughter got married at about 32, and it's a very good marriage.
Good for them.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but you're absolutely right. Men in particular need to go out and sow their wild oats, so to speak, before
mm-hmm.
they start looking to settle down. And you know what? What you're looking for in a relationship changes so dramatically between your 20s and 30s and even 40s.
Absolutely.
The person you'd be interested in your 20s, you probably won't be interested in your 30s.
It's so very true, April. Listeners, again, go to her website, askapril.com. It's a great website. And if you have a question for this relationship expert, April Messini, who is nicknamed the new millennium's Dear Abby by the media. And she is, as we've been talking about, the author of dating advice books and the acclaimed Ask April advice column and forum.
Right. The forum is very, very popular.
Yeah, talk about that, and then I have just a couple of things, more things I'd like to say about commitment and get your reaction to it. So what about the forum?
It's extremely active, and you can ask just about anything under the sun on it. And it's completely anonymous. No one will ever know that you've asked, and I actually answer all the questions myself.
Mm-hmm.
I spend generally 3 to 4 hours a day, every day, answering readers' questions, and it's extremely popular.
That's so great, April. I should tell the listeners that you and I first met in Hawaii. You used to live there, and I used to live there.
That's right.
And then we knew each other in Los Angeles.
And we taught a class together in Los Angeles.
And what?
We taught a class together in Los Angeles.
We did, for the Learning Annex. And that was sort of centered around the book,
Date
Out of Your League.
Right, and you got up and you really gave those guys an education.
Well, I was the sex part of the evening. Yeah, a lot of them seemed a little shy and maybe surprised that I was so forthright about
it. But they loved every moment of it.
Well, thank you.
Not every day they can hear it.
Well, you know, that's true, and that's an important piece of work that I like to do with this radio program. Get out good, solid information about relationships and about sexuality.
Right.
Now, committed. I'm a marriage and family therapist, too, and I have seen that men and women may have patterns of dating people with commitment issues because they have commitment issues themselves, and it's important for them to recognize patterns. And sometimes they're scared.
Yes.
They maybe got into an important relationship, and as it got closer to commitment, they got scared. So we talk about how come.
And you see a lot of women do that when they date married men. They're afraid of having a committed relationship, so they keep picking these men who are unavailable.
That's exactly right. Inappropriate partners.
Yeah.
And not
and
available partners.
And guys can do
partners.
The same thing.
And of course. And, you know, sometimes it'll be in an important relationship. Have you or your partner done something to create or maintain distance? Let's talk about that. Let's look at it.
When you say create distance, you mean physical difference or emotional distance or both?
Both.
Uh-huh.
Both. Because they don't really want to commit.
Right.
And, you know, I get some clients they have responses that are in relationships that are highly unrealistic and extreme. Maybe overly romantic, overly critical, overly involved, overly detached. And the source of all of that is often their childhood.
Right.
And they don't have secure attachment. They have avoidance attachment or anxious attachment. But that's another show.
But, well, they always say that, you know, the mm-hmm. life a child lives is the life they learn. So whatever
yes.
it is that they do growing up and witness and experience growing up between their parents, and they study their parents' relationships, and that's what a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, these kids are watching and they are living that life with you, and they're going to mimic it.
Yes, you know, I'm tomorrow morning I'm going to be visiting my daughter and she has a 2-year-old and a 3-month-old, and they're both little boys. And the 2-year-old is just so affectionate. And he kisses me over the phone. I'm so glad I'm going to see him in person. But what he sees with his parents is lots of affection, and they give him so much affection. And the little baby is just so cute.
Oh, isn't that
I'm sounding like a grandma now, a grandma. Filled with pride, and I am, but I'm so happy that my grandchildren are going to grow up in this great, healthy environment where the parents love each other and they love their little boys.
Oh, isn't that terrific?
They'll make good, these little boys will have good adult relationships, you know? And anyway, let's go back to another thing you deal with is you get questions about, can we remain friends after a breakup?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that is I think that there are two kinds of divorces or two kinds of separation, those that involve children and those that don't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people go around saying, oh, I remain friends with my ex and how wonderful it is. And I always say to people, well, that's their relationship. It's not yours.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get brownie points for remaining friends with your ex. That's not to say it wouldn't be wonderful, you know, if we could all go and, you know, live happily ever after as friends. But the truth of the matter is that most times if people try to remain friends with their ex, there's a reason for it. You're either keeping them on the sidelines in case, you know, you can't find better. I hate to say that, but that's the truth.
Yes.
And
yes. Well, you tell the truth. That's what makes you such a popular advice columnist.
The other thing is you don't move on, and they don't move on. And if you do move on and you're the one who's trying to remain friends with them, you're preventing them from moving on, and that's very selfish. I think it's very difficult for people to remain friends with their ex and to really get on with their life, and I never recommend it. If there are kids involved, that's a whole another story. You have to remain civil with them. And then...
Civil. Yes, the word is civil.
Yes.
You're not going to be intimate friends, but...
No.
But
and
you need to communicate about the children.
Exactly. And doing things alone with your ex and the children, I think, is never a good idea because it gives the children false hope.
You're absolutely right.
Every time you separate at that point on, the child goes through another divorce or another separation, and that's not fair either. So I never recommend people remaining friends with their ex unless it's done naturally and
mm-hmm.
each of you have somebody else, and, you know, then it's possible. But I think that's rare.
Yes, I think it is. And while we're on the subject, I think that if you are divorced with children, you need to be very careful about introducing a new man or a new woman to the children.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to have this revolving door of the children just get confused.
Well, and they get hurt.
And they,
you know,
get hurt.
They get attached to somebody, and then that somebody's gone. And then they get attached to somebody, and then that somebody's gone. And they get attached, and then that somebody's gone. I mean, it's very traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it hurts you to go through a breakup, imagine what it does to the little ones.
Yeah.
Very traumatic. And then on top of the fact they don't like to see their mom or their dad upset.
No. And I do see the results of this with some of my clients. You know, they had this happen in their own growing up time, and they often have very problematic adult relationships.
Yeah.
And inevitably there are trust issues, and that
again, that goes back to the life kids live is the life that they learn.
Mm-hmm.
If they constantly have new people coming in, and they don't set up relationships with them, that's exactly what they bring into their adulthood.
Yes, exactly. You also talk about, nice guys finishing last.
Well, it's funny. I did an article on that for Yahoo. It was on
mm-hmm.
their homepage.
Mm.
You should have read the emails I got. Some of them were so over-the-top angry. From nice guys saying, how could you possibly say that to me?
Uh-huh.
You know, but the truth of the matter is, I said to them, look up nice in the dictionary, and you'll see it's described as pleasant, agreeable, and satisfactory.
Mm-hmm.
Well, would you like to be considered a satisfactory guy? I don't think so. When someone is nice, when a woman describes someone as nice, this is how you hear it. Oh, he's a really nice guy, but I only like him as a friend. Now, how many times have you heard that? Like a billion.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
You never hear, he's too dangerous for me to go out with. Oh, he's too exciting for me to go out with. Oh, you know, he's too passionate for me to go out with. You never hear those things, but you hear, oh, he's so nice. He's such a nice guy, but I only like him as a friend. You hear that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And people will ask me, well, why is that? And, you know, it's an interesting thing. You don't want to tell guys to mistreat women. That's not at all what I'm about to say. But I think guys need to value themselves a bit more than they do, these so-called nice guys, because they become too accommodating, too available, too eager to please, and they get nothing in return. And when you invest everything without asking for anything back, you've kind of devalued yourself. It's just human nature. It's just the way it goes.
I hope the listeners are really listening carefully. What you said is very important.
Valuing themselves.
Valuing themselves.
Yeah. The truth is, if something is acquired and obtained or maintained too easily without any effort or any sacrifice, we perceive it as lacking value. And if you think about that,
mm-hmm.
it really is true.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that the cocky, arrogant guy always wins with women is that he's not all invested in some woman he doesn't even know. Mm-hmm. These nice guys get all invested and are trying so hard to please some woman, they don't even know if they like her. I mean, really, you don't even know if you like her yet. Why are you getting yourself all, you know, twisted into a pretzel over some woman you may not even like at all?
Whereas the bad boy will just move on.
That's right. He says, you know what, I like her. I may want to go out with her. But if she says, no, I'm not going to die, because guess what? There's another one, but not the nice guy. What he does is he's so focused and fixated on this one woman, and his whole self-esteem gets wrapped up in, is she going to reject me? Is she going to like me? What can I do to please her? How can I win her? Blah, 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 blah. If she says no, he is just devastated.
You know, I remember some of the guys where we did the Learning Annex. Some of those guys came across as just like that.
Yes.
And they were dying to get more information. And I think of all of your books, perhaps Think and Date Like a Man is, does that address that better, or Date Out of Your League?
Well, you know, that, Think and Date Like a Man is more for women. And Date Out of Your League, yes, is more for men.
For men, yeah.
The important thing that Date Out of Your League tries to drive home is the number one thing women are attracted to is not money, it's not looks, it's confidence.
That's right.
Confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And if you come across as desperate and, you know, dying to get a woman's approval or affection or attention, you are coming across as anything but confident. You are coming across as desperate and insecure. And once you do that, you have devalued yourself.
Precisely. And ideally, if you like someone, you should be able to say, I want you even more than I need you. You know what? I can live without you, but I can live better with you. And so there's a little more want than need. And when the desperate thing is like sticky, needy, you know, codependent kind of stuff.
Well, and particularly before you even get to know somebody. I mean, we're talking about when a man is first getting to the point where he's going to ask a woman out, or he's gone out with her once or twice, and he's, you know, as I said, twisting himself into a pretzel, trying mm-hmm. to win her over, and that's just don't do that. No.
Right. It's and so for a man like that, it might even be useful for him to do a little counseling, a little therapy.
It probably would.
So of course I'm biased because I am a therapist, but I've seen a lot of men sort of transform themselves, and women, where they do become more confident, including as a sexual being, because I do the general kind of therapy and then the sex therapy too.
Well, there's no question that if a guy or a gal could go to you and talk to you about these things and describe their behavior, you would recognize right away what they're doing. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes people can't see that in themselves. They really can't.
Mm-hmm.
And they need somebody to say, okay, do you realize that you're doing X, Y, or Z? And
sometimes
they really don't.
That's right. And another part of that is that when people are in their 20s, going back to what we were saying about waiting a bit to
right.
get married, you're often more looking for somebody who is better developed in certain areas than you are.
Yes.
And it's like, I'm a half, and this other person's a half, and maybe together we'll make a whole. Whereas if you're really evolved as a human being and more confident, one and one in a good relationship, the synergy is such that at times you can be three.
That's
not
right.
Not two, but three.
And along those lines, it's very interesting also that men are also attracted to confidence in women.
Yes,
that
they
is
are.
Very
say more about that, April.
It really is. Men really find confidence sexy, just like women find confidence in men sexy. That goes for both sexes, and that is something that you develop over time.
Yes.
Little successes.
Yes.
You're more
and
more confident.
Yes, and sometimes success in your profession, in your work, will spill over.
Absolutely.
But it can, you know what, April? It can go the other way, too. There was a small study done about women who were anorgasmic. and then they learned to have orgasms predictably and regularly. And if they were in work that they didn't like, they changed their profession. And if they were in work that they did like, they advanced. So the sexual confidence spilled over into the overall confidence. But I think it's a positive feedback loop, actually.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
One thing I can tell you is that a lot of very successful women bring the boardroom into the bedroom, so to speak, and they start behaving like men and chasing men. And that could be a little dangerous, in as much as they don't get the result that they want at the end.
You know, like what? I can imagine, but I'd like to.
Well, if I have a saying, don't act like a man unless you are one.
Yeah, act like a man unless you are one.
Yeah,
okay.
And what I mean by that is, you know, you shouldn't be calling men, emailing men, asking men out, God forbid asking them to marry you. I just think that's a mistake. I really do, because men are, it's embedded in them. They like to chase. They like to be the aggressors. They like to win. That's what it is. They like to win. Men are competitive by nature, and when you take that away from them, you're really doing them a disservice. I mean, not only are you doing yourself a disservice, because you're always going to wonder in the back of your mind, if you've asked a man to marry you, you're always going to wonder, well, I wonder if he ever would have asked me. Would he ever have married me if I hadn't done it? Chances are, you know, that's going to impact your relationship, because you're going to be insecure.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth of the matter is, you know, a lot of times when women do the chasing of men, it's great for the guy's ego, but ultimately he's going to look for someone who's a little bit harder to get.
You're very wise, April. Very, very wise.
Oh, that's why you're my friend.
I like you, that answer. Well, and listeners, we're so fortunate because April Messini will be returning to this program in 2 weeks on July 25th. And so, because there's so much to talk about. And if you would like to ask April a question, maybe you'll call in after the break, and it's 888-874-4888, and you can go to her website if you can, maybe you're listening where you can't, but it's askapril.com, and you'll need to leave your email address with the producer and say if you'd like to think and date like a man, which is more for women, or date out of your league, which is more for men. Or maybe you'd like romantic date ideas. And what was the other one again?
Ideas for a fun date.
Oh, yeah, ideas for a fun date. You know, I printed this out, and it printed over the title. So
that's okay.
I don't know why. But all right, so when we come back from the break, which we're going to go to in about half a minute, we're going to talk about how can a guy get out of the friend zone, because you have lots of good things to say about that, helpful things. And we've already talked a little bit about women pursuing men. I'd like to expand on that some.
Okay.
And I don't know, maybe we'll get in. I was thinking we'd wait until July 25th, because dating outside of your political party is so fascinating to me. I really want to hear what you have to say about that. So any of you listeners who want to have a question for, if you have a question for April, call in after the break. You'll win one of her books, and you'll no doubt get expert advice. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Cosa leggerai? Con che libro affascini il tuo cuore?
We're back. This is Dr. Diana Wiley. My guest is April Messini. She is has been dubbed the nicknamed the new millennium's Dear Abby by the media, and she is an author. And if you have a question for April, you will win one of her e-books.
Yeah. They can also go and post it on my forum if they would like to ask it after the show. At askapril.com, they can post a question there, and I'll answer it myself.
Great. So that's very generous of you, but that's how you are. You're a very generous person.
Oh, thank you.
And you're welcome. So we were going to talk about how you can get a guy out of the friend zone.
Well, obviously the best thing is not to get in the first place.
So how do you advise people about that?
Well, you know, first you got to be honest with yourself and honor your own feelings. If you're becoming friends with someone because you're attracted to her and you're hoping that she'll be attracted to you and then you can ask her out, well, you should just bite the bullet and ask her out. As I said earlier, you know, the number one thing women are attracted to is confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So by asking a woman out, you know, right off the bat, you're demonstrating that you're confident. You're confident enough in yourself to just do it. Just ask her out. The other thing is not being true to yourself and standing around and being friends to her, with her. And I just don't think it's good for a guy's self-esteem. You know, how are you going to feel when she starts talking about some guy that she met? I mean, that's what she's going to do. I mean, once you're a friend, you're just that. You're a friend. And you just get out of the friend zone, ask them out on a date.
And
yes, you're
going
to put her on the spot, but that's what you want. You need to have an answer. Why would you want to waste your time on someone who doesn't want you?
Yeah.
Why would you want to do that?
And it's pretty stupid if you think about it.
Yeah, it really is. You're wasting your time, and time is your most valuable commodity. And in fact, I always say rejection is a gift, because what they've done is they saved you the time and the energy that you would have wasted just standing around. I mean, what are you doing? Why are you there?
That is a very important message that people that consider themselves shy should really get. Because a lot of shy people are afraid of rejection. And
it's a gift.
And yeah,
it really
like,
is. It allows you to move on and to find somebody who's right for you. Everybody is not right for you, and you got to find the one that is.
Mm-hmm. Got to find the one, the right one. Shy people sometimes also have trouble with eye contact. And I think that it's important to establish the right kind of message, you have to learn to hold eye contact for longer than the person you are connecting with. And I know this, it sounds simple, but it's unbelievably powerful and effective when you actually can do it with people around you. And I'll advise a woman, you know, if you see a man that you find attractive and he looks back at you, don't look away, because a lot of women become self-conscious and look away as soon as a man notices them looking, and this is a huge mistake, really.
Well, that's fantastic advice, you know, mm-hmm. because this comes back to the women chasing. It's a way to be a little bit aggressive by, you know, actively looking back at him and not dropping the gaze, but you're not chasing him. He actually initiated it.
Yes, yes.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
That's great advice.
Yes. Well, thank you. And I think let's also talk a little bit about flirting, because some people find that difficult to do.
Yeah.
You know, they'll often say, people say there's chemistry between them, and what they're really saying is both people are flirting and intrigued with one another.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, it's interesting. It used to be very easy for women to pick up men. They used to have little white hankies, and they used to drop them on the floor. And the man would pick it up. And the funny thing was, is she's initiated. She's done the whole thing. But no, he feels like he has, because he's actually picked up the hanky. So we need to find hankies.
That's 100 years ago. 100 years ago.
Isn't it true?
But it is true. I think it's lovely. It sounds kind of Victorian, but it's civilized.
Uh-huh. Well, my favorite way to start a conversation with someone, and this is what I tell shy people when they write to me, is to ask someone's advice. Everybody likes to give their opinion.
That's true.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for a way to approach a woman,
mm-hmm.
ask her for her advice. on something or ask her opinion, and the same applies to men. You know, if you're a woman looking to start a conversation with a guy, ask his opinion on something.
Mm-hmm.
Just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's very
great
good
opener.
Advice. Yes.
And incidentally, if he or she is interested in you, guess what? You've opened the door, and now you can continue the conversation. And if they shut you down, you haven't been rejected. You've asked them a very simple question, and you can just keep going.
You can
move
keep
on
going.
To someone else.
Move on to somebody else.
You've saved face. You're not going to be embarrassed because you've just asked the question. And it's out there, and they can continue if they want to. And if they don't, well, okay, next.
Yeah, and most people have some area of expertise, you know, that where they like to be asked. My son is in finance, but he knows so much about classic cars.
Uh-huh.
And so I ask him questions. We talk every Sunday, and I ask him questions about that, and he's also taking photographs at classic car shows, and they're on a website, but he knows everything about cars, and I'm not always that interested, but if he finds a young woman who's really interested in cars, he's all set.
Well, if you're, you know, one of the examples I give is people always talk about, you know, what do I say, like if I'm at a bar or if I'm at a, nothing wrong with asking, you know, do you know anything about this red wine or would you pick this or this? Or guys, you know, if you're out on the prowl, so to speak, and you're going to go to a coffee shop, bring a couple different magazines with you or bring a newspaper and a magazine and say, which would you recommend I read, this one or this one?
That's very good.
Or always have, you know, I tell women, be up to date on current events. I mean, certainly with the politics that's going on, you can always ask someone's opinion on, you know, what they thought of the health care law or what they think of gay marriage. Or now, those are spicy topics, and you may not like your answer, but you know what? It's going to tell you a lot about that person.
It really is. And, stay current with current events is so good. And I think if you're really introverted and you're going to a party where you're going to be meeting new people, actually rehearse something ahead of time that you can feel comfortable talking about. Rehearse it.
Absolutely.
You know? It helps. And then I liked your idea about the red wine or the white or whatever
or
environment
what kind
you're
of wine or it could be anything.
But the environment you're in, you can make that an icebreaker.
Absolutely.
How do you know the host and hostess? Something about the music playing, that you like it, then you're both hearing it. I mean, those are good things to do.
And I'll tell you something else. I always tell women, you know, guys never get compliments, ever. You never hear guys going up to another guy and saying, hey, great tie, or you look great today. Now, women get compliments all the time, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to really get a guy's attention, pick out something that he's really got that's unique or nice. Nice tie, nice belt, nice shoes, nice shirt. Whatever it is, I guarantee you he is going to love getting a compliment because they never get them. Never.
Yeah, well, maybe never is a little too strong, but they get them far less than women.
Way less.
Yeah. And you're much more likely to get something back that way. Not that you, I talk about mitzvahs. A mitzvah, you know what a mitzvah is. It's something you do without expecting anything in return, or even some good deed. Or without even expecting attention for it. But you're much more likely to get it back if you do something nice.
Right.
Mitzvah comes from Yiddish.
No, I wasn't familiar with it. I've learned something new today.
Oh, good. But a mitzvah is really, it's something that you just want to do. And generosity often begets reciprocity. So, I think giving a man a compliment is very good. I give my man compliments all the time, and he deserves them.
Well, you would be someone who would, but it's interesting how few women do that. And particularly using it as an icebreaker. I think that that's very effective. Now, guys walking up to a woman and saying, oh, you're very beautiful. Well, that's, you know, not a great pickup line.
Right, right.
It's really not. But
because a lot of beautiful women are kind of used to hearing it.
That's right.
And they might want to rather hear how bright they are, but you have to get to know somebody.
Well, you know, if you're talking about a really beautiful woman, one of the best lines I've ever heard is, hi, would you like to meet me?
That's good. That's very good. Now, listeners, we only have about 15 more minutes or even less than that because we stop a couple minutes before the top of the hour. So call in with a question if you have one for April. April, I should tell you, don't take this personally because a lot of people don't listen live. They go to the archived.
No, I understand.
And your offer to go to your forum. Tell our listeners how they might do that.
You just go to www.askapril.com and you click on the forum and you'll see I've got, at this point, we've got about 16,000 questions on there.
Oh, my.
Just about all of which have been answered.
This keeps you busy.
Oh, very busy. Very, very busy. And it's interesting, people write a novel. They don't usually ask one line or two lines or three. It's usually several paragraphs, but that's okay. They get all the little details in there and helps me formulate a better answer for them. But it's terrific.
You're terrific. I mean, this is a great service. So askapril.com. Yes, go there. And before we do the next show, I'm going to spend some time on the forum. I haven't done that, but I will.
So we get all ages.
Yeah. That's very good. That's very good. So we were also going to talk, what was the last thing we were going to talk about?
Women pursuing men, I think we were talking
about.
Yes,
and we've already talked a little bit about that. But let's talk about that more. Women pursuing men, and I like what you say. Don't act like a man unless you are one. I know when I was, as you know, my. The husband that I had in Hawaii died, and so I was a widow for a number of years, and so I did Match.com and eHarmony. And
how did you like online dating?
Well, it was okay,
uh-huh.
And then I got to meet Brian. But what I, which is, and that was 21 months ago almost, and he just is the most incredible man. So I'm very, very happy. But I decided to let men email me. In other words, I did not email men.
Uh-huh.
I'd let them reach out. And I did not put on my profile that I was a sex therapist. I use that as a filter.
I can imagine that would scare some people off.
Yeah.
They would think they wouldn't be up for the task, or
yeah.
It would intrigue them.
Well, either one, you
right.
know, and I got both, but I would just put there that I was a psychotherapist, which I am, and a gerontologist, which I am. And then, but I told Brian before we actually met, we were talking on the phone, and I said I left something off the profile on Match.com, and it is that I'm a sex therapist. Well, he thought that was great.
Oh, of course he did. He was thinking, woohoo!
But, you know, he's got the confidence. So.
Yes,
I
bet.
Did you ever try online dating? I know you're married now.
I have, and I think it's, I would always encourage people to do it. I really
mm-hmm.
would. And a lot of women say, oh, but, you know, he could be lying on there, or he could be married. Well, you know what? I have a news bulletin for you. The guy down the street could be lying. You can
mm-hmm.
meet him in Barnes & Noble and he's lying. You can meet him in the coffee shop and he's lying. You can meet him at work and he's lying. If he's a liar, he's a liar. It doesn't matter if he's online or not, you know.
Very, very true. Yes, very
if someone
true.
Is a liar, they're just going to lie. But there are a lot of good guys out there, an enormous amount. And why would you shut off something like that? And I got to tell you something else.
Mm-hmm.
I have three friends that got married from that.
Yes, I have known people that have gotten married.
Enormous amount.
You know, I'm a senior now, and so, but there are lots of people in their 50s and 60s and beyond who are meeting people online.
Oh, absolutely. Well, look, you've got more divorces today than you've ever had.
And widows.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks to Viagra, people are out, you know, looking for relationships much later in life than they used to be.
That's very true. And besides that, what I say as a gerontologist, and I know this firsthand, that remaining sexual as you age is very healthy.
Uh-huh.
Very healthy for you.
Yes.
It produces endorphins, and more if you're post-menopause. For the woman, more estrogen circulates in her body. You get lots more oxytocin because the more we're touched, the more we want to be touched, another positive feedback loop. So it's really good for our immune system, and it also helps you look younger.
Oxytocin come just from a normal touching, or does it need to be sexual?
No, just normal touching.
Interesting. I didn't realize that.
And it's in breast milk. It helps the mother and baby bond.
Huh. All right.
Yeah.
Learned two things today.
No. They say that if you're affectionate and you're touched and you have a lover a lot, it'll actually, you have more oxytocin circulating, and that'll make you a better parent and grandparent.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Because you'll be more affectionate and demonstrative, and people can learn to do that. It's sometimes much harder if they come out of a really rotten childhood where there was no affection and maybe there was abuse even. It's difficult to overcome, but it can be.
Yes. Well, back to online dating. I
yes.
think that it's something that absolutely people should do. First off, you can say exactly what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And very hard to do that. You know, if you're meeting someone face-to-face, it's very hard to ask some personal questions that you can just ask straight away right online.
That's very true. You sort out very quickly.
Very quickly. And I always tell people to put exactly what they're looking for online.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you mince words? I mean, why would you waste time?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, be very specific.
And mm-hmm.
the key to finding what you want is knowing what you want. And you'd be amazed how many people don't. You
mm-hmm.
can ask people what kind of car they want. They can tell you exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You can ask them what kind of job they want. They can tell you exactly. Ask a woman or a man, what kind of woman do you want to meet? Well, they can tell you general things, not specifics. The same is true with women. They don't even know what their top three priorities are.
I'm going to give you a male online quote, and I like it so much. I have strong beliefs, but the ones that matter most don't require fitting you into a checklist. How you treat others, including yourself, matters most to me. Isn't that great?
Yes, including yourself. Do you hear that part? Wow.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's what
how
we're
you
talking
treat
about
others,
earlier.
Including yourself.
Yep.
And sometimes I talk about enlightened selfishness.
Uh-huh.
There are times where you do need to be selfish and take care of yourself and make time for yourself, particularly if you're more on the introverted side. You need time alone to process and not get overwhelmed.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's true.
Yeah. So, and I think if you say what you want to about, if you want somebody who's affectionate and demonstrative, now you have to be careful. That's why I didn't put up there that I was a sex therapist when I was doing online.
Right.
But I think it's pretty safe to say that you're a sensual person and that you know, that you like affection.
That's important to you. Absolutely.
It's important to you.
And what a great way you can date several people all at once, you know, and so you find what you want online. You know, you can meet all different kinds of people 24 hours a day
mm-hmm.
and weed out what it is you're looking for.
And then I also have advised some clients, too, if they're doing online dating and they want to play the field, to say that, you know, to say, well, you know, I've been getting a lot of attention from my profile, which makes me happy, but at this point, I really do want to play the field. And that's a nice way of letting somebody down if you don't want a second date with them.
That's fantastic advice.
Yeah.
That's really fantastic advice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And, you know, men are really, much more romantic. Many men are more romantic than we give them credit for. There was a psychologist named Richard Jackson Harris of Kansas State University, and he found that actual men liked seeing a romantic comedy on a date much more than women thought most men would. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is.
And when men were asked to choose which of the and this would be kissing or caressing without intercourse,
oh,
while another 15% chose an intimate conversation.
Oh, really?
Yes, and only 20% chose a full-on sex scene. Only 20%.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
So, you know, we may have 1,000 or so sexual fantasies, but only in some of them are we the cable guy who arrives just as the guy, as you're getting out of the shower. In others, you know, they fancy, the man would fancy himself Paul Rudd.
Right, right.
So, yeah, I think men really do like cuddling and kissing. And there was another study there that showed that the longer a man stays long-term, the more in touch with his emotional side he may get. And it was the Kinsey Institute that conducted an international survey of more than 1,000 middle-aged couples.
What does that mean, stays long-term? You mean in a relationship?
Yeah.
Long-term? Oh,
I see. Uh-huh. They were looking at couples who had been together 25 years.
Right.
The researchers measured each partner's relationship and sexual satisfaction on a number of variables. And some of the findings were obvious because sexual functioning, for instance, was strongly related to male sexual satisfaction, but others were unexpected. And the striking finding was a strong connection between the man's relationship satisfaction and his frequency of physical intimacy. Not physical intimacy as in sex, but physical intimacy as in kissing, cuddling, and in general, not necessarily sexual caressing.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
That was a pretty recent Kinsey study.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And they also found that the odds of a man being happy in his relationship increased by a factor of 3 if he snuggled up regularly.
Hmm.
So snuggle up.
Well, that sounds good to me.
Yeah. So, as we come to the end of the program, I would like the listeners to know that when you return to this program in 2 weeks, we're going to talk about cougars. So this would be an older woman dating a younger man, dating outside your political party. Now, what kinds of questions have you gotten there?
About cougars?
No, about political parties.
Oh, all different kinds. What to do if, actually, I had a recent one about a woman who was a Democrat dating a man who was Republican, and the arguments that they were having.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have these heated elections, I think I was surprised that they hadn't come up before now, because I'm a firm believer that your political party says more about you than just who you vote for. It runs
yes,
across all different kinds of things, because if you think about it, you know, abortion plays into that, you know, same-sex marriage plays into that.
Yeah.
You have all kinds of things that go along with it, and it runs through our life in many different ways.
Yes, it's very true. And we're also going to talk about, in 2 weeks, about opposites attracting.
Yes.
Or do they? And I think about the Myers-Briggs, and we can talk more about that later. You know about,
yes,
the Myers-Briggs.
Yes, I do.
Yes. April, you have been a delightful and informative guest, and I do thank you so much.
Oh, it's been great fun, Diana, and I look forward to talking to you again in a couple weeks.
We'll do that. And so, again, listeners, go to askapril.com. You'll be so glad you did.
Thank you so much, Diana. I'll talk to you soon.
Great, April. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. We'll be back next week, and I hope you'll tune in then. Bye-bye.